Well, before I get to the message I have for you guys tonight, I just wanted to tell you a little bit about, because you don't get to see what goes on next to you. You may hear us sometimes, I don't know. But you don't get to see some of the things that happen. And some really neat things have been happening the last few months in our youth ministry. And, well, first of all, there's just been a ton of growth. And growth through kids who were not going to church and have come to church and have gotten saved and given their life to Christ. And that's been really exciting. And, yeah. But it's to me, it's seeing the spiritual change that's been happening recently. And right now, they're having service. And I can tell you just things I have noticed as I'm up there. So like during the preaching, I've noticed more and more kids just bringing paper Bibles. And I haven't even really harped on it. Sometimes I say, turn to this passage. By the way, if you want to turn to Revelation chapter 3, we'll be there in a minute. And I'm looking, and there's all these students taking notes and things. And every time they leave them sometimes, and I enjoy reading their notes. And I even found like one, this is like a seventh grade girl, okay? And she's got amazing notes. And then I noticed that she is doing her own Bible study at home and was going through James and writing out things, okay? Just a seventh grade girl doing her own Bible studies, seeing that kind of stuff. Last week during worship, I remember I was worshiping and I kind of looked up and I was like, it feels like there's less kids. And then I realized there was about 15 kids on their knees, just on their knees worshiping Jesus. And then at the end of the service, we were doing altar time and I prayed for a kid and I finished praying and I looked over and we have three sections in the youth room. The left section from the stage was completely empty. All of them were in the altar praying with. Some of them were praying with friends. They see a friend go to the altar. They don't leave them alone. They go lay hands on them. So they're learning to minister and pray. This is what's happening over there. I want you to know it's exciting. It's good things. And next week, I give you a prayer point, okay? Something to pray about. We do this every year. We call it the big event. I'm real creative with my name titles and the big event. And all it is it's a way to invite their friends that normally would kind of be questioning going to church or something. We tell them, hey, we're going to have snow cones and Nerf wars and this. And they come thinking that's what they need. And then they discover that they really needed Jesus in their life. And every year, students get saved. Every single year. And so we're believing for many of those. So you can pray that it'll probably be noisy. We'll have well over 100 students over there, and you'll see them running up and down the halls. We'll try and keep them contained, but you know how. And so it's going to be exciting. So, but I have something to share tonight with you guys, so we'll just jump right into it. And I don't know how many of you use platforms like Instagram or Snapchat or Facebook or these kinds of things. A lot of the students do, and I've noticed something really silly that some of them do, more girls than boys, is they'll post a picture of themselves desperately trying to get somebody to compliment them. Have any of you ever seen this before? And like this girl should be like, trying out my new hair. And like she just needs someone to be like, oh, it looks so good. And some of them are really fishing. I've even seen one, it looked like she spent an hour getting ready. And she goes, just feeling ugly today. And then of course, all the girls are jumping in that chat and be like, oh no, girl, you slay, and whatever they say. I can't keep up. And they're like trying to build each other up, and they're trying to get this validation from people around them, people they don't even know or their friends. And the truth is, though, this has been going on way longer than social media or Snapchat and phones and all that. I remember, and I told this to the teenagers, when I was in college in 2003, and they're all going, like, when how old are you? And I was in college, and there was a website, and it was called Hot or Not. Some of you might even have heard of this. It's no longer a thing. Thank the Lord it is gone. But what people did, they'd upload pictures of themselves, and then other people they didn't know would just rank them from 1 to 10, and you would find out if you're hot or not based on what the internet decided you were. And I never did it. I never uploaded. I didn't need a whole bunch of people to tell me average. I already knew. And so, I knew people. I knew one girl. She would go on and just rate every girl a 10 because she felt bad that they were going to think they were ugly. And she was just trying to help them out a little bit. And there's just this weird thing. People want to get this. Somebody tell them they're good looking. Somebody tell them. And of course, we see in our culture, there's so much attention on the outside. I mean, there are departments just for here, right, ladies? You know what I'm saying? There's a whole department in the store just for that. And we need like a separate bank account just to pay for the stuff that my wife, and she's beautiful. I don't even know why she needs it, but hopefully she's watching. Anyways, all this attention on the outside and look and get, and not very much attention on who we are and what we're like. I want to ask you a question in related to that, and it's going to sound really weird. It's weird on purpose, so you'll think about it. And I'm not talking about what you look like. Okay, here it is. Does God think you're hot? I'm not talking about what you look like, okay? This is what it says in 1 Samuel 16:7, okay? The Lord does not look at things man looks at. Man looks at outward appearance. Man does look at your hair if you did it good, okay? Man does look at those things. God does not. It says the Lord looks at the heart. He is worried. He's concerned about who you are as a person, who you are. If you got whatever look, he's not that concerned about that. He is concerned about who we are. He doesn't look at that outward appearance. So when I say, does he think you're hot? Some of you that know Revelation 3 immediately know what I'm talking about. And there's a reason I chose that phrase. It comes from something that Jesus said to a church that was not hot, okay? He was not approving of them. And so in Revelation 3, it says this. He says, I know your deeds, that you're neither cold or hot. I wish you were one or the other. And I was just going to point out, he says, I'm looking at what you're doing, and you're not what you're supposed to be. And now, some of you are thinking, might even have started to think, you said it's about your heart, now you're talking about what you do. Are you confused? Like, we just switched gears. Here's what I want you to see, though. What you do is what's in your heart. And Jesus very clearly taught that what out of our heart are the things that we do and say, okay? So it's out of our heart that we do these things. In fact, people want to somehow disconnect your faith and your works. James made it pretty clear you can't really do that, okay? It's your faith, okay, your deeds and your works are the fruit of your belief and your faith and what's in your heart. If you want to see what your faith and your belief and what's in your heart is, you look at the fruit, the deeds, and the actions that you have. And so Jesus, his concern here is he's looking at their deeds. He knows what's wrong in their heart because you can see what they're doing. And so he says you're not either hot or cold in what you're doing. And then he says, so because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. And this is somewhat understandable because in this room, there's two kinds of people. There's the hot coffee people. Who loves their hot coffee? All right, let me see. Okay. And I know, my wife has coffee every morning. And I noticed she was heating it up all the time. Like she would just, back and forth to heat up her. And so I bought her one of those mugs that keeps it hot. Some of you have one of those, they're amazing. And my parents, coffee all day long, but they're always heating them up in the microwave, because they want it hot. You don't want that lukewarm. Now, I don't like coffee. Sorry. I know it's disappointing for some of you. But for me, it's Dr. Pepper. But here's the thing about it can't be lukewarm. I like ice cold. In fact, I am really weird about it. I'm intense about it. Before I have a Dr. Pepper at home, I know about 10 minutes before I'm going to need it, I get it out of the refrigerator and put it in the freezer and then let it get an extra 10 minutes of freezing temperatures before I pour it on a full glass of ice and then I'm ready to drink it. I like it really, really cold. Okay, that's the way. And so he's sitting here talking about these people that are, they're lukewarm, and then he says he's going to spit them out. And there's different translations, say it differently. It sounds kind of calm. It's actually more like to violently vomit out, okay? And you've experienced this, okay? Just the other day I was eating a salad. I don't like it. And my wife put it was like a rotten something in there. She didn't mean to. It was like the cucumber had gone bad. And when it hit my mouth, I literally stood up from the table and ran to the trash can. I've never done that. It was just disgusting. It had to get out, okay? That was nothing compared to when my kids were babies, and we had a diaper genie. Some of you know a diaper genie. It's like a special bag thing that keeps the smell. And it works great, except for we were carrying the bag, and the bag ripped open. And it stores like 3 weeks worth of stuff, okay? And I started to clean it. By the way, when it gets that messy, it's always my job, I've noticed. And I started to clean it, and I bent over, and when it hit the reflex, I couldn't even stop. I started to throw up inside my own mouth, which was nothing compared to the time I had food poisoning. And if you've ever had that, your insides want to become your outsides, okay? And I've noticed that, normally you go into a restroom, you try not to touch anything, and you wash your hands right after. When you have food poisoning, you're just laying on that seat, dear Lord, just let me die now. He's talking about these lukewarm people. He says, I'm going to vomit you out. I can't stand it. Here's what we want you to see. Christ can't stand lukewarmness in people who claim to be a Christian, who are or claim to be a Christian. He does not put up with it. He doesn't like it. He wants to vomit it out. So I want to give you a word. It's not a real word, but I think it accurately describes, okay, this state and something you see in our culture, and it is this one. You probably saw at the beginning. It's Christian-ish. I'm Christian-ish. You know, ish means sorta, mostly. Okay, I'm sorta that. You have somebody in your life that says they'll be there at 7, and you know they mean 7-ish, okay? And they're never going to be there at 7, okay? I was at somebody's house, we're going to have lunch, and they're like, yeah, it's going to be at 12-ish, you know, right around 12. It was like 1:30, and I'm like, I'm getting hangry, okay? We're going to eat, or I'm going to leave. That's what's going to happen. And, you know, it's like, sort of everybody's got their thing. It's kind of, I'm going to do it sort of. And here's what Christian-ish ends up being. I'm a Christian, sort of. I'm a Christian-ish, and I came up with some definitions. Okay, here's my primary one, then I'll give you some secondary ideas here. It is calling yourself a Christian but living like the world. To say, I'm a Christian, and then you live just like those that are not. The way that you live, the deeds that Jesus saw, are just like those who are not. I'm a Christian, but I keep living and acting and doing the things that someone who's not a Christian. How about this one? Having lukewarm faith that's all image, no substance. All words, no action. It's like, oh, I maybe show the part, play the part, but in when it comes to my actual substance and what's in me, the actual things I do. A few weeks now, in the youth, I was illustrating this point to them, and I bought some vanilla ice cream, like a pint of vanilla ice cream, but before the service way earlier, I actually cleaned it out. I washed it, cleaned it completely, and I got a jar of mayonnaise, filled up the vanilla, and I don't know if you can do this. If you freeze mayonnaise, it scoops and looks just like vanilla ice cream. I mean, exactly, and this would be fun. You could do this to someone, but anyway, so I had this pint, and in the service, I pulled it up and I said, anybody want some vanilla ice cream? And by the way, these teenagers, when I have food, they act like y'all have never fed them. I don't know, it's just, they start going nuts in there. And I was like, who wants it? And there's like all these down here, these middle school boys, and they want the ice cream, and I scooped it out and I put it in a bowl, and I said, "Yes, sir, you want it? Yeah, I want it." And I handed it to him, Joel. He's one of the little boys in there, I'm nice, okay. Right before he took the bite, everybody wishes I didn't stop him. I said, "Wait, I want to tell you something. It is mayonnaise. Do you still want it?" He's like, you know, he's like, and then he was really disappointed because though it looked just like it, and it put on this image, but it wasn't. And if you ate that, it'd be pretty nasty, okay? At least to me, that's disgusting. And it didn't smell good either. Here's the deal. When Christians put on the image, they put on the outside, and it looks like it, it's pretty gross to the world. Because this is why, if the world encountered true believers, they would want to at least know them and be with them because they're the most loving, kind, patient, caring people they could ever encounter. But they encounter the other. And it's like eating some mayonnaise when you thought you were getting ice cream. And by the way, apparently to Jesus, it's that way too. He's like, it makes me sick to my stomach. I'm going to get it out. I got to get you out of my mouth. And so it's image, but it's no substance. This one's just mean. Having enough Jesus to make you feel better, but not enough to change your life. It's like, I feel good. I went to church. But you go home and act exactly the same. That's Christian-ish, sort of. Here's my last one. Following Jesus as long as it's comfortable. I'll go after him. I'll do it as long as it's easy and comfortable. This does not work in other areas of life. Can you imagine some student going, you remember when you were in like high school and played sports or something like that? If you can wait, some of you are like, way back. Yeah, back when you did that. Okay. Can you imagine going to the coach and saying, coach, I want to be on the team. But as long as it's easy, as long as it's comfortable. You think any coach is going to go for that? And if you're coaching a little league, and some kids, I want to play, but as long as it's easy, you're like, go to another team, right? You can do that with a boss, and a teacher, a professor. Just try that. Some of you are going to college this semester. Hey, professor, I'm going to take your class. As long as it's easy, as long as it's comfortable. And you're like, well, you're going to fail. And so it doesn't work in those things. Why do we think we're going to do that when it comes to our faith and our relationship with God? I'm going to follow you as long as it's comfortable. That does not go very well with the things that Jesus said. Right. Things like, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That doesn't sound very comfortable, right? In fact, there's this one story. It's in Luke 9, 57. And I'm not going to turn to anything, but just tell you. So Jesus is walking along the road, and a man comes and says, "I'll follow you wherever you go." That sounds really great. Somebody just came to Jesus and said, "I want to follow you, Jesus." This is his answer. "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head," which is really weird. I mean, you'd be really disappointed if you brought your friend tonight who didn't know Jesus. They came to me and said, "Hey, I'm ready to give my life to Christ." And I said, "Foxes have holes." You're going off your rocker. What is Jesus doing? Okay, there's this guy who's ready to follow him, and he's telling him, "Look, tonight we're going to sleep on the ground somewhere. Or in some little thing. I don't know where I am." And I don't know what this guy's situation. I don't know if he followed him. We don't know. It doesn't tell us. This guy may have been like, "I got a real comfy mattress back home. I just got, you know, I don't know what it." But he said, "Hey, if you follow me, it's going to be uncomfortable. Are you willing to be uncomfortable? Are you willing to do something hard to follow me?" And so, but a Christian-ish, if it gets hard, quit. If it means changing, I can stay a Christian without doing that. I'm Christian-ish. Or I'm lukewarm. So I want to show you this, because this is a problem with Christian-ish, with being lukewarm, is you find yourself in the middle of the road. You've probably encountered this. Have any of you ever ran over an animal on the road? Anybody ever done that? Okay, I've done it a couple times by accident. I wasn't like aiming for it. But there's a problem with things like a squirrel. If you've ever encountered one of these, they come out on the road, and what do? They go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and they cannot decide what they want to do. And you're trying, but then it's just, we don't show that at church, okay? Because he is right in the middle. If he would have just gone across, he would have been just fine, but he's stuck in the middle, okay, of the road. And this is what happens in a lot of people's life. When you're in this lukewarm phase, you're kind of in the middle, and stuff like this happens. It's like you're on a business trip, and all the guys are going to go out to this club. "Well, my wife's not going to know. No one's going to know. Should I? I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't. That's right. Well, I don't know. No one's going to." And they get, "Oh, I don't know what to do. Because you haven't made the decision that you're going to follow Christ no matter what. It's Sunday morning, and oh, man, should I go to church today or should I not go to church today? I don't know. It's kind of really busy. I've got to do this thing later. What am I going to do? Make a decision. Stuck in the middle of the road. And when so much of that happens, much of the time happens is disaster. When you find yourself not sure if you're going to follow Christ or follow the world or do this, you find yourself in this ish place, this lukewarm area right in the middle of the road, and it causes us so much harm. So he says, when you're lukewarm, he says, "I'm about to spit you out of my mouth." Then he goes on and he says, "You say, 'I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing.'" I just want to point out that a lot of times when things are going well in our life, we assume that everything is going well with our relationship with God. These people were probably financially very well off, but they were not well with God. And so you might be a good American, and you might be doing good in your house and have all the things, but that doesn't mean that you're following Christ right. You say, "I'm rich, and I don't need anything." And then he says, "But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." Now, I don't think he's talking about actual blindness, right? Yeah. It's not somebody walking around, walking in this up, "Why do I keep doing that? You're blind." Oh, okay. Like there's not somebody walking around a store naked and doesn't understand why they're getting in trouble. Like, no, it's a spiritual thing he's talking about. There are people who are spiritually blind. They cannot see the things of God. They cannot see what God wants them to do. I do not want God to call me spiritually pitiful. You know what I mean? But they are. And here's the interesting part or sad part. It says this: you do not realize. You do not. In other words, they don't know. Right. They think things are fine. And some of us are in that boat. You don't even know. You don't realize. And if you knew, I believe you might do something different. But you don't realize. I mean, we've all had times when you didn't know, and you would have changed if you knew something. You ever had something stuck in your tooth? And you went in the bathroom, you're like, "Why didn't anybody tell me? Like, I would have taken it out a long time ago," okay? I tell you, when the preachers, most preachers have this fear of having their zipper undone the whole time they're preaching, okay? It's just a thing. You always check before you come up on stage, because everybody's had it happen to them in the day, but it'd be real bad to preach an entire message, and then someone up, "Hey, Pastor, you thought you were funny, and now you're just laughing because your zipper's undone." Like, you know what? And because if you knew, you would fix it. And here's so much of the time when it comes to these things. I believe many of us would change some things if we knew. And we need to let the Holy Spirit show us where we need to change and when we're being lukewarm and when we're letting him, when we're not following him the way that we're meant to be. We may be wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, or naked and not realize it. So I want to give you a couple of signs that you might be lukewarm. Just give you a few ideas, some things to think through, so you might know if this is something that you may be dealing with in your life. Here's one. You crave acceptance from people more than acceptance from God. You care more about the opinion of the person you work with than God. You care more about the opinion of somebody online or somebody another over there than you do of God. And I know that this is something that all of us will struggle with, most of us at some point in our life, if we're not careful. I can think of some embarrassing times in my life where this was a deal. I remember one time specifically, it stuck with me. You don't remember a lot from like eighth grade, but I remember this. It was like first or second day of school, eighth grade, and I'm sitting at the lunch table, and I always prayed over my food, you know, and I was with some new guys. I didn't know them. They were, I don't know, I was trying to make a good impression, and I wanted to pray over my food, and so I knocked something off the table by accident and was like, Lord, thank you for my food. I pray you blessed in Jesus' name. I pray, amen. So nobody saw me pray. And like, come on. Like, what? I mean, on one sense, I was really wanting to pray. On the other sense, I was scared to let somebody see me pray. And I don't, that's pretty ish. Okay, I don't want to be that way. And we can crave the acceptance of people more than we crave the acceptance of God. You rationalize sin. Your sin. Not someone, I'm not worried about somebody else's. Okay, I'm talking about yours. We never rationalize that. Well, those people, they need to, you know, whatever. But we rationalize our own sin. And what that means is you come up with reasons why yours is okay. Well, you know, it's just right now, or well, it's, you know, it's not that big a deal, or whatever. And I don't need to talk through that, but if there's something that you know that the Lord has told you not to do, and you're coming up with a reason why it's okay, that's what lukewarm does. And you need to recognize, this is what we do. When we discover that in our life, I'm going to show you what it says we do in a second, but we're going to get past it. And it's good to recognize it, because if you don't see it, you can't change it. So if you're rationalizing sin in your life, you need to go, I have some lukewarmness, some ish in me that I need to get rid of, some Christian ish that I need to get rid of. Here's one. You rarely share faith in Christ, your faith in Christ. Now, I don't know what rarely is. I'm not going to try to define a time frame, okay? But if we never... will share what God's done in our life. If we're next to somebody, okay, if there's somebody in your life that's sitting there hurting and they're like, I just don't know what to do, and you won't even share Christ in that moment, you need to recognize that there's probably something in your heart that's just not right with God, because you don't see the hurting and the need and the things that he would see and the deep things he would want you to do, and go, God, I need to change. I need to start seeing people's hurt and that you can solve it and let him work that out of you. Here, two more, ready? You're not much different from the world. You just kind of look like everybody else. And most people don't want to look different than everybody else. We try really hard to just fit in and be normal, and you know, and we don't really want to stand out very much. And you know, that's fine when it comes to your haircut or your clothes you wear, probably. But when it comes to the way we live our life, we are different. The way that we talk, the way you entertain yourself. I mean, I talk to telling a teenager, look, if your playlist is the same as your unsaved friends, you're very lukewarm. If the things you watch at night on TV are the same as your unsaved friends, then you, and I'm saying this to y'all as well, if your playlist is the same as your friends at work, yeah, like some, what I'm saying, we need to recognize that if we're the same as a worldly, as a people that don't follow Christ, that's the very definition of being lukewarm. Our deeds are the same as those that don't follow him. And so we're not much different than the world. Here's one more. You've never denied yourself to obey Christ, to obey Jesus. I can tell you this, when you decide to follow Jesus, you will deny what you want to do from time to time. Now, this world will say, oh, God just wants you to be you, and he'll never tell you. That's just, somebody made that up. That's not God. They made up a God. Because to follow him, you will deny yourself. If you have not denied yourself, you're probably not following God. Because there are things in all of us that are not right, that he will say, don't do that anymore. If you start to follow him, and you'll have to deny yourself. Or he'll say, I want you to pick up this cross. I want you to pick up this thing, and I want you to go do it. And you'll say, I don't want to do that, but I'm going to do it because God's told me to. And so this is a sign that you might be lukewarm. So if we're lukewarm in some part of our life, what do we do? Well, good thing is Jesus doesn't leave us that way. He says, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. And I want you to just see, here he is talking to this people that he says is lukewarm, and he says to those who I love. I rebuke and discipline. And we don't like that part. Rebuke, I love you, so I rebuke you and discipline you. But if you have kids, you understand it. You can discipline them because you love them. Because you know what, if they continue down that path, it's going to destroy their life. And your Heavenly Father, and he knows if you continue down this path, that it's going to destroy your life. And so he'll rebuke you. Stop it. And he'll discipline us if he has to get us out of it. And then it says this, so be earnest. I mean, that's pretty much the opposite of ish. Earnest is I'm going to go after it with everything. I'm going to put a fire under myself, and I'm going to be earnest and do this. And then he says, and repent. Repent is that real biblically word for change your mind and change your direction and do something else. There's this decision that you make, and this is an amazing thing. If you are lukewarm in some part of your life or your whole life right now, you can even tonight repent. You, in your heart, you decide, God, I'm doing wrong. And you turn and you face a different direction and say, I'm going to do different. And you start to live a new way. That's repentance. It is that changing of mind and your belief towards what he wants you to do. He says, be earnest and repent. He says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. Which is strange because he's talking to a church. Jesus is on the outside. Can I come in? Right? And so many of us, we've locked him out of our, you would think he would just kick the door down, right? But he's saying, hey, can I come in? He says, if anyone hears me, hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. He will come in and he wants a relationship with you. When you turn and you stop the Christian-ish life and start living all in following him, you discover something deeper than you've ever encountered. And that's a true, meaningful, real relationship with him. So I'm going to give you two quick things. I like to be practical. So some next steps. Number one, commit your life to Christ. Repent of being lukewarm and commit your life to him. You make this decision. I am not going to live that way anymore. And that's something you start now. You say, you know what? I see something in me that's not right. I see something in me that needs to change, and I'm gonna change it. And you start with that committing. It's that repentance. We're going to pray in just a couple of minutes, and you're going to pray during that time, and you're going to say, Lord, I'm committing to change right now. This is something that's going to be different in me. And so you commit your life to him, and you commit that area of your life to him. That's step one. You got to take that step, the most important one, okay? And then this is something practical, just to see it lived out in your life. Do something daily because you are a Christian. In other words, I wouldn't have done this, but I'm a Christian. I'm going to do this. I would have told her my mind, I'm following Christ, and I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to get up and I'm going to pray. Why? Because I'm following Christ. This is something that you should actually see all throughout your day. It's like, well, I do things. Why? Because I'm a follower of Christ. And that's the only reason. Because I love him and I'm going to follow him. And so look in your day. Is there things I'm doing throughout my day because I follow Jesus? And start to live those things out. And what happens, you'll start to recognize in your heart where, man, I need to commit. I need to change. I need to keep going after this and choose to do things daily because you're a Christian. I don't know where it lands with you. I know that so many of you, you're committed fully to the Lord. You're not lukewarm. But I know also how this works in so many of our lives, that there's some area that you've allowed the ish of the world to rub off on you. You know what I'm saying? It's so easy just to kind of let that slide, let that area kind of be weak and just ignore that. And what I want to encourage you to do is we just have a few minutes to seek the Lord. We're going to worship a little more, pray, to talk to the Lord. And just this, I was praying this earlier. I said, Lord, is there anything in me that's lukewarm, that you don't like, that you want me to change, want me to repent of? And let's let him do that in you tonight. And just to talk to him about that. And then commit, Lord, that's going to change. I'm going to do that differently, God. I'm committing my heart to be different tonight. And let him do a work in you. And if you're just living a Christian-ish life, you know, you prayed a prayer one day a long time ago, you know that your life hasn't really changed. I want to challenge you to commit your life truly to the Lord tonight and to say, I'm going to truly follow God. Not this ish stuff that is fake. It's sorta. I want the real deal. As I tell you, until you get the real deal, you don't even know what you're missing. It's when you find the real relationship, you find the real meaning, you find the real purpose that he has for you, when you really commit your life to him. So we're going to, in just a second, we're going to stand and we're going to have worship, and there'll be people down here to pray. And if you need prayer, I want to encourage you to let somebody pray with you. If not, I want to just ask you where you're at to just seek the Lord for a moment and ask him that question. Holy Spirit, is there anything you want me to change? And let him speak to you during these next few minutes. Father, I thank you for tonight. I pray that you would just expose anything in us, Lord, that is not pleasing to you, anything that is pulling us away from your purpose and plan. Lord, if we have some lukewarm in us, Lord, get it out tonight. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Help us to change and commit fully to you. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.